Kupuna Wiki was previously recorded.
Welcome to Kupuna Wiki, Hawaii's senior resource, the radio show that helps you find answers on important topics like finances, senior housing, estate planning, real estate, health, and much more. Now let's join Kupuna Wiki hosts Brandon Lau and Andrew Leon.
Aloha and welcome to the Kupuna Wiki radio show. This month we are talking about estate planning, and in studio we have Eric Young, attorney at law. Kupuna Wiki is Hawaii's senior resource. We talk to the best local professionals in the state regarding topics such as real estate, senior housing, estate planning, finance, and health, that our Kupuna families can find the best resources in the midst of a life transition. We strive to make sure our seniors are informed and supported every step of the way. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Brandon Lau.
And I'm Andrew Leong,
your host for the Kupuna Wiki radio show.
If you missed any of our shows on air, the Kupuna Wiki radio show is available as a podcast and can be found on Spotify, Apple, and Podbean for your listening pleasure. Our title sponsor for today is Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors, providing you with the best real estate information so you can make the most informed decisions. As they like to say, real estate is about choice. To contact them, call 808-753-9033.
And now we have our real estate tip of the week, brought to you by Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors.
Hotel condos, commonly located in and around Waikiki in Honolulu, provide various advantages for both investors and owners. These include easy management of short-term rentals, complete access to hotel amenities, flexible living arrangements, and more. While hotel condos offer potential benefits based on your needs, it's important to note that they may also entail additional fees not common in residential properties. Carefully consider whether a hotel condo aligns with your requirements.
For more information about hotel condominiums or other real estate investments, contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors at 808-753-9033. Again, today we have the pleasure of speaking with Eric Young, attorney at law, and he is a Hawaii estate planning, trust, and estate litigation attorney. Welcome, Eric. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thanks, Brandon.
Welcome back. So you've been busy, I presume.
We've been managing to stay very busy, yes.
Yeah. In your estate planning practice, you know, at this time of the year, beginning part of the year, I mean, is there any types of things that you normally do that, you know, precipitate the new year?
It's always seems like the holidays are the opportunity for people to want to get their estate plans done. They put them off for a long period of time, and so that we do find that there's some pressure to get that stuff done.
Well, the estate planning plan is the gift that keeps on giving, right?
That's right.
Keeps everything in order.
Everybody needs an estate plan.
So maybe you can share with the listeners a little bit about your background and how you got into the estate planning practice.
Sure. So I was born and raised here. I attended Punahou and Harvard, did my law school education at the UH law school. Mm-hmm. And then I started in a corporate law firm. And there I had the opportunity to decide if I wanted to work in estate planning. I never really thought about it in law school. And I thought, oh, this is a unique opportunity to be able to work with everyday people. Mm-hmm. So it was never my intention, but I just said, well, let's just give it a chance. Let's just give it a shot. And, you know, the rest is history.
So Harvard, that must have been a real challenging time in life.
It was very cold.
Cold.
Local boy in slippers in the snow.
I was thinking that you'd say, well, I never slept. I just, you know, I studied at the library all day, but it was cold.
It was very cold.
You know, that you have to weather the elements. But I guess at that point you said, hey, estate planning is a great area of law to practice. What do you enjoy about it?
I think what I enjoy the most is being able to help everyday mom and pops. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just like my family, my parents, my grandparents. I see my grandparents and a lot of the clients, the elderly clients that come to the office. Mm-hmm. So that's what I really enjoy about this area of law.
It's very personable.
Right? It is.
With regard to your, you know, the basic practice of estate planning, but who you're dealing with, right?
It really is. I mean, you know, you'll have new clients come into the office. They've never met you. Mm-hmm. And within that first hour, you're finding out about their family members and their mm-hmm. assets. And it's really an honor to be able to be entrusted with that personal information.
Right, right. Now, I know it says that you do estate planning, but you also do litigation, estate litigation.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit of, you know, how those things work hand in hand.
Well, you know, after our clients pass away, mm-hmm. then there's that period of what we call probate administration, or if they had a trust administration. And it's been my, you know, experience that over the last 30 years, the administration of probates and trusts have, for whatever reason, become more complicated and sometimes more contested.
Mm.
And so we're finding that there are more incidents of disputes between family members. And so we have to, you know, we have to now deal with situations where we're trying to mediate,
mm-hmm.
you know, these family difficulties, but sometimes we have to go to court to resolve them.
Right.
And so we're doing a lot more litigation in probate court.
You know, that's an interesting observation, because I think I would agree with you. You know, even the whole idea of estate planning wasn't as commonly known or talked about as it is now. And I guess maybe people are a little more aware of the rights and responsibilities in that whole process.
Yes. Right?
And now they're like, well, what are my rights
yeah.
in this process?
Yes.
Right. And maybe at one point, you know, families were just trying to keep everything in the family. You know, they don't want to air out their dirty laundry, but now they're a little more, I can say, aware and educated. So now they're trying to take some action to right what they feel might be some wrongs or some inconsistencies. And so they hire attorneys to help all that work out. You know,
absolutely that right. You know, it's our observation that, you know, when the surviving parents, when they finally pass away, mm-hmm. you know, they often have been the glue to the family.
Right.
And so sometimes the death of the parents, you know, triggers these long-standing sort of family grievances,
mm-hmm.
and then that sort of can manifest itself in terms of, you know, thinking that the distributions that mom and dad provided for are not fair for whatever reason.
Right.
And it seems to be that the most common and largest asset for most of our families are the homes.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much equity, and, you know, the average home in Hawaii is at least $1 million, right?
At least.
At least.
For a fixer-upper.
For exactly, right? Just that's the land. So if you've got three kids, and let's say they're all good kids and they all have good jobs, right? You got policemen and you got teachers, and but who can really afford to buy out their siblings
right.
on a $1.5 million piece of property? And so that might be part of what's driving the growth in these disputes among family members.
And it's interesting you brought up the family home, right? Because I think well-meaning parents have the notion that, hey, if I leave the family home to the kids, I've done my part in helping to set them up financially. You know, that's their inheritance. But it's not so simple.
It really is.
Conceptually, they think, oh, that's the right thing to do, but they don't think of the other ramifications. Well, how do you divide up the family home between three siblings?
Absolutely right.
Right.
You know, there's a concept here in Hawaii that, you know, the aina is the most important part of the family legacy. And so they want to somehow create sort of these rules and restrictions on the use of the home for everyone in the family for one or two generations. And if you think about it, you know, with the real property taxes and the right. maintenance costs and the insurance and then fair use of the property, is that something that is reasonable for most families to achieve?
Right.
So we're having at the front end, the estate planning portion of the spectrum, these deep discussions about the practicalities of trying to weave those kinds of instructions
right.
in a trust.
Right. As an example, since we're on the topic of, you know, the family home, what would be an alternative that could be recommended to not have any disputes after mom and dad pass? What are some options that they could think
that's
about?
That's a great question. Yeah. And I had a mentor when I was a young attorney who told me that, you know, we can draft the perfect estate planning documents, but a lot of whether or not the family fights depends on the parents.
Mm.
Okay, so some of this is out of the control of the attorneys and the planners.
Right.
But to the extent that we can assist, you know, transparency, telling the kids in advance, you know, what mom and dad want, having the discussion, bringing the children into the discussion so that their expectations are reasonable,
right?
I think can be very helpful to maintaining family harmony.
Communication, advanced discussion about the topic.
Absolutely.
But is there ever a alternative to just not leaving the home as the asset that needs to be divided?
Well, so the question really comes down to, you know, the use of the home, right? And if there isn't, let's say, sufficient liquidity to leave a piece of property in an irrevocable trust for a generation, and you need a lot of liquidity to pay for repairs and, like we said, the insurance.
Unforeseen costs.
And the unforeseen costs, then, you know, the reality is that maybe the family should be prepared that the property has to be sold. And, you know, a lot of families have children that are moving to the mainland. So you've got situations where maybe there's one or two children on the mainland and a child here. That child may be living with the parents. So to iron that out, the parents really should talk to the children about what should happen to the house when the parent passes away. And that's a conversation that does not happen often enough in Hawaii.
No, it doesn't. And a lot of times it's because, like you said, the typical arrangement is one of the siblings stays in the home, whereas the other two, whether they're on island or off island, they're not in the home. I mean, they're, you know, they have their own families, their own lives. And then there's the question of care for mom and dad. Right. So it's not typically talked about because it's complicated. And also it's a little challenging, and nobody wants to talk about what happens when mom and dad passes at that point in time.
It's a very uncomfortable topic because when mom and dad are alive, the child that's living in the home is typically, you know, saying that I'm helping mom and dad out because I love you. But the dynamic can change once mom or dad have died to a feeling of entitlement that, hey, I'm the one, I'm the only one that, you know, help mom and dad on a day-to-day basis until they passed away. And so maybe if they're three kids, maybe my one equal third share, I should get a little bit more. So that's the kind of dynamic that's at play that we see that's quite frequent.
And Eric, that's why you're the perfect guy to have in the midst of that discussion. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about how to work through that dynamic and also some tips you may have regarding estate planning that are very practical for our listeners. So we'll talk more about that right after this commercial break.
We'll be back with more Kupuna Wiki right after this.
Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors assists clients in buying and selling their homes by striving to create an easy and seamless transition. With multiple awards spanning most transactions of the year, Client Service Award, and being in the top 100 realtors, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with excellent service and care when making a major life decision. Over the years, their agents have greatly enjoyed serving each and every one of their clients as if they were family. Whether you're a first-time homeowner or a senior, they understand the challenges and complexities of the real estate process and want to help you every step of the way. Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with the most information so you can make the best decision. Because as they like to say, real estate is about choice. Contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors today for a free in-person property valuation by calling 753-9033 or email them clientservice@choicehi.com.
Welcome back to Kupuna Wiki on AM 690, The Answer.
Welcome back. If you just join us in studio, we have Eric Young, attorney at law. And, you know, Eric, you know, I want to jump right back in from our first segment because I think a lot of our listeners, their ears perked up because, again, they're relating to this story of, well, we have the family home. One of the children is living in it. Maybe perhaps the others are not, you know, maybe off on the mainland or maybe still on island, but just not in the home. And then mom and dad passes, right? We see, and being in the real estate industry, we see this a lot, right? How do you help navigate the families into a, I would say, a peaceful resolution, right? Because most of the time, it's not always peaceful because, again, the child that's living in the home feels like they should get more because they were there to take care of mom and dad. So how do you go about helping the family get through this?
Well, Andrew, I know that, you know, you and Brandon as realtors, you guys are on the front lines. You are working often with the children, you know, after mom and dad have died and, you know, trying to find the highest and best price for a particular piece of property. And maybe the child that lives on the property is not the person that has the power to sell the property. It could be the child on the mainland that was designated as the trustee of mom or dad's trust. And so you're trying to navigate whether here's a legal person who has to sign the deeds and can sign the purchase contract, but then the escrow company is going to distribute the money basically in equal shares to, let's say, three children. So, you know, we can't change the law. We can't change either the distribution in equal shares that's provided by the decedent's will or their trust. But I think what attorneys can do is to try to be as unbiased as possible and also to be transparent and clear in their communications. Mm-hmm. So whenever I represent a trustee, for example, and a house has to be sold, you know, what we try to do is help our clients be transparent and open with the siblings regarding the process, you know, who they're selecting as their realtor, what's the recommended list price, are any funds of the trust going to be used to improve the property before sale, and usually we advise the fiduciary to rely on the expert advice of the realtors, because you guys have the experience with respect to, you know, whether carpet should be replaced and such. So I think transparency really helps to generate at least some trust by the beneficiaries that are not the children that are beneficiaries but not trustees. So we try to communicate with them clearly.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, usually obviously the child that was living in the home has to now move.
Yes.
Right? How do you go around that?
So we try to raise that issue, you know, early, and we try to be respectful of, you know, giving that child enough time to find alternate accommodations, and we encourage our clients to be reasonable in terms of providing enough time and support. Sometimes if there's funds in the trust and that child that's living in the home is entitled to some of the liquid funds, then maybe what we can do is use some of the liquid funds to pay for rental of a new place, you know, as an advanced distribution. So we try to use the assets at the trustee's disposal to try to make it easier for that child in the house to sort of move on to the next step in life.
Eric, those options are really gems that a family could, you know, use and learn about, because a lot of them don't know what the options are, right? And I think that's where the frustration comes in.
Yes.
Is, well, I don't know, what are the options? What are my rights? What's equitable? Like, they really don't know. So they do need an estate planning attorney to help provide these things to them.
Yes.
Right. Tools, in other words, to work through the problem.
Yes.
Yeah. And now, when you initially set up the consultation with family members, how do you do that so that if there are multiple siblings and parties to an estate, so that everybody feels like they are on the same page, you know, they all have an equal horse in the race, so to speak?
Well, part of our job is easy as attorneys, because the law actually requires a trustee to share information with the beneficiaries. So we just use the law to encourage our fiduciary clients to, you know, share copies of the trust documents with the other siblings, for example. Share the inventory of the trust assets, how much cash is there. And then we try to devise a plan and a timeline, and so that all of the family members sort of understand what the trustee has to do before, you know, assets are distributed. It's our experience that, you know, the beneficiaries want the assets as soon as they can get their hands on them. But it's helpful for the trustees and their lawyers to explain that the trustees have other duties. For example, to make sure that all of the federal and state income taxes are paid first, and all legitimate creditors' claims are paid first. So there's a process. And by being transparent and explaining that to the beneficiaries, I think it helps in the entire administration process after mom and dad have passed away.
Yeah, that's a good way to get things started.
Right? Yes.
And, you know, having that initial consultation where everybody's understanding of the process and also has some appreciation or sympathy for the trustee who's doing the work, I mean, that does help everyone to have a little more grace in that situation, right?
I think so.
Yeah. And that trustee, I mean, you know, if you are in a trustee position, I mean, it's a very important role.
Right? It is. So that a trustee has what we call fiduciary duties. Mm-hmm. And the duties are not just to the beneficiaries, the family members, but are also to the taxing authorities and to legitimate creditors.
Great. Well, Eric, you know, obviously your background as in estate litigation is actually helping you to prevent problems from happening. So I'm really glad that you have that breadth of experience to help your clients. Now, what are a few tips that you might give them that are real simple and practical that help with, you know, general estate planning?
Well, it's good to be organized.
Right.
Right. So a family that keeps their finances and organized, mm-hmm. keeps the debts organized, right. and in so that when the child who is named as a successor trustee takes over, you know, they can get their hands easily on all the financial information in one place. That can be very helpful. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And how about, since a lot of what we're talking about is financially related, are there any ideas to pass along that would help?
There is one thing that I've changed in my practice, and that has to do with, you know, sometimes parents are concerned about the creditors of their children, mm-hmm. you know, from divorce in particular. So there's a kind of an irrevocable trust that can be created after the death of the parents for each child. And those, the assets, while they remain in trust, are protected from the child's creditors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So what my practice is now is to recommend to the clients, bring in your adult children to the estate planning meeting, so that the attorney can explain, you know, exactly how these irrevocable trusts work, and that has been very helpful, because after the parents have passed away, the children understand how these trusts work, and they have to get tax ID numbers, they have to file tax returns, and they have to do accounting. And the accounting is usually to the future beneficiaries after the child dies.
Right.
So there are complexities to, you know, to creating these irrevocable creditor protection trusts for a child. And I find that bringing the children into the meeting really helps.
You know, that's a great concept that our listeners are benefiting from hearing right now. You know, having that irrevocable trust, creditor protection, and who knows? I mean, these days, not all families or marriages stay together, so that does help to direct the assets of the beneficiary who's assigned.
Right? Yes, yes.
Well, we've been speaking with Eric Young, and he's been giving us some great insights into estate planning. He is an estate planning attorney, and he also does estate litigation. And Eric, if any of our listeners wanted to give you a call, how can they reach out to you?
Well, they can go to our website, www.ericyounglaw.com, or they can give us a buzz at our main line, which is 808-427-1406.
Again, we've been speaking with Eric Young, attorney at law. And Eric, thank you so much for what you're doing to help our kupuna and the community.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Coming up next, we have our Kupuna Wiki Classic Trivia.
We'll be back with more Kupuna Wiki right after this.
Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors assists clients in buying and selling their homes by striving to create an easy and seamless transition. With multiple awards spanning most transactions of the year, Client Service Award, and being in the top 100 realtors, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with excellent service and care when making a major life decision. Over the years, their agents have greatly enjoyed serving each and every one of their clients as if they were family. Whether you're a first-time homeowner or a senior, they understand the challenges and complexities of the real estate process and want to help you every step of the way. Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors wants to provide you with the most information so you can make the best decision. Because as they like to say, real estate is about choice. Contact Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors today for a free in-person property valuation by calling 753-9033 or email them clientservice@choicehi.com.
Welcome back to Kupuna Wiki on AM 690, The Answer.
Thank you to all the participants who called into last week's Kupuna Wiki trivia. And last week's question was, in 1978, Hawaii enforced the 10-foot rule to protect which endangered species? The answer is honu, or green sea turtles. And now this week's Kupuna Wiki trivia is sponsored by Eric Young, attorney at law.
Who was the most recent Hawaiian Olympian in 2020, and what sport did they compete in?
For a chance to win a Long's gift card, be the first person to call us with the correct answer at 808-792-5188.
Again, we'd like to thank this segment sponsor, Cheney Brooks Choice Advisors, providing you with the best real estate information so you can make the most informed decisions. As they like to say, real estate is about choice. To contact them, call 808-753-9033.
Well, thanks for joining us today on the Kupuna Wiki Radio Show, Hawaii's senior resource. We strive to make sure our seniors are informed and supported every step of the way. Again, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you back next time on the Kupuna Wiki Radio Show.
You've been listening to the Kupuna Wiki Radio Program. If you'd like more information about today's topics, please call us at 792-5188. That's 792-5188. Or visit us online at kupunawiki.com. Until next time, aloha.
The preceding program was sponsored by Kupuna Wiki, Hawaii's senior resource.